The story of the Rosenbergs still stirs controversy nearly 70 years after they were put to death. The couple was charged with conspiring to provide technical information about building an atomic bomb to the Soviet Union. They were executed by the electric chair. Ethel Rosenberg's brother, David Greenglass, worked on the Manhattan Project in New Mexico. And when he was arrested, he told officials Ethel's husband, Julius, had recruited him to steal classified information. In 2016, the sons of the Rosenbergs, who were just 6 and 10 years old when their parents were executed, once more sought exoneration for their mother from President Obama, but were unsuccessful. Actress Talia Pura became fascinated with Ethel Rosenberg when she saw a one-woman play about her in a workshop in Nashville called The Passion of Ethel Rosenberg. Pura brings the show to Santa Fe starting April 26th. Talia Pura, thank you for joining us on Women's Focus.
It's my pleasure.
So, Ethel Rosenberg, what interested you about this woman? Why did you want to do this play?
Yes, I wanted to do this play for a number of reasons, but I would say primarily I was drawn to the project because I have a long-standing history of doing historical female dramas. And all the rest of them I've written myself. So I've got about a dozen one-woman shows that I've written on various people, everybody from Betty Davis, right hair and makeup. It's amazing who you can look like. Betty Davis, Marlene Dietrich, Mata Hari, and then some women you've never heard of, but that should be famous. So I'm really all about bringing their stories to light. So when I saw that this was about a woman that I, of course, had known about previously, and I thought, oh, what a fascinating, wonderful, horrible story she has. And isn't it wonderful that this play is from her perspective? It's not about her husband. It's not about the two of them. She's not an adjunct to his story. It's her story. It's her feelings. She's in jail, and she's awaiting execution, and she has followed him to the chair on purpose. She didn't have to. She could have caved. She could have talked to the FBI. She didn't.
And was that offered to her, for people who don't know the story?
Yes, it was. Yeah, the Attorney General of the U.S. actually said, we will not kill you as long as you confess and cooperate. Just tell us what we already know. Just confirm it for us. And they said, absolutely not. That would be a lie. We didn't do it. They maintained their innocence right to the last breath.
And what stance does this play take about their guilt or innocence?
Well, that is a very good question. And because it's all coming out of Ethel's head, and Ethel maintains her innocence, I have done minimal extra research into that question. I have chosen not to. I am aware that when the Soviet Union fell, that there were a lot of papers that were never available before, and that their names do come up in papers you can find in Russia. Well, that's kind of scary and makes me just close my ears and go, la, 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 no, 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 I'm not going to read any of that.
For the purposes of this play
mm-hmm. and performance, I am being truthful to the playwright's vision of this. I'm going to assume that he did his homework and did all of the research required, which I'm sure he did. This is based on large part on the letters that passed between Julius and Ethel, because, of course, they spent 2 years in Sing Sing, but naturally not in the same cell. So they actually wrote letters to each other and could only see each other when their lawyer was present. So if their lawyer had no excuse to come and see them, they could go for pretty long stretches without laying eyes on each other. And so there's a lot of information in their letters, and that's what this play is based on. So anything that she didn't cop to in a letter to him is not the truth.
Presumably these letters were not private.
No, they would have always been scrutinized.
Why do you find her a sympathetic figure, or do you find her sympathetic?
I do. Well, the easiest answer is that as an actress, I find all the characters I play sympathetic. You can't not like the character you're playing. You have to find your way in and justify everything out of that character's mouth. Every action needs to be justified. So I find her completely sympathetic. But I think that the audience will as well. By the end of the play, I think they will, too.
When did you first find out about the play? What intrigued you about it?
About a year ago. This play is a new play. It's written by Edward Morris, and he's a journalist, actually, in Nashville. So somebody that was living in Nashville knew him and offered me this play here, suggested that I look at it. So I am producing it through Studio Center of Santa Fe, which is the former Warehouse 21, for those of you familiar with Santa Fe and the art scene there, and my own theater company, which is Blue Raven Theater.
Talk a little bit about what we find out about Ethel in this play, I mean, they were middle-class Jewish New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Barely middle-class. By the time they were arrested, he was part of the Army Signal Corps during the war, which was an extremely good job. But by 1943, the House Un-American Activities Committee was starting to look around for communists, and they were unabashedly, unapologetically part of the Communist Party. And I think that's what really put them in jeopardy.
Now, her connections to New Mexico, of course, is her brother.
Her brother worked at Los Alamos.
During the Manhattan Project.
Exactly. He worked in the labs, and he actually confessed to stealing the plans for the bomb. Now, he was a machinist. He was not a scientist. He would not have been really involved in the bomb's development in any way. But he somehow got his hands on these plans. He confessed to stealing them. Then he says that he turned them over to Julius, and he claims that Julius actually recruited him to do that. Now, the brother, Davy, was also part of the Communist Party back then, so supposedly would have been sympathetic to the cause. And, of course, there were those that felt that the U.S. should have shared the plans for the bombs when they first developed because, of course, Russia was an ally at the time. And Russia was instrumental in stopping the Germans and shortening the war for America. And so there was all of that tied up with the ideals of communism and how good it looked on paper. And so that was the basis for which supposedly Julius wanted to pass these plans on to Russia. And then Ethel was a co-conspirator. She was charged because supposedly she typed up the plans for him. Now, Ethel will tell you that she didn't do it, and she intimates that probably Davy's wife did it. But Davy's wife walked totally free, was never implicated in this at all.
This is Davy Greenglass, her brother.
Davy Greenglass, mm-hmm. the brother. So the sister-in-law was completely free and clear, and they both testified that it had been Julius and Ethel that had done it. But Davy cut a deal with the FBI by turning in Julius, so he got a 15-year sentence, and they got the electric chair.
The Rosenbergs had young children, didn't they?
They did. They had a 7-year-old boy and a 3-year-old boy. And what becomes clear through the play really is that even though she really, really loves her sons and really wants to be a perfect mother, her communist ideology and especially her passion and love for her husband completely override any obligations as a mother. In the end, she's basically telling you that she's doing this for them because anything less would be dishonorable.
What did you glean from her as you read this play that you found really interesting as an actress that you wanted to share?
Well, I think that Edward really hit a lot of levels. And it's a lovely mixture of reminiscing about the former life, to begin with, just to set it up and give you some background, to her visceral responses to everything that's gone on in the trial and since the trial. And she's very, very feisty, and she's very strong in what she believes. And even though we see her waver slightly sometimes, she really is set as to what she's going to do. You know, she's not backing down. And I love the different levels. I loved how she could go from humor to moments that really, really do invite sympathy.
Does the play go up through her execution?
No. The last scene takes place the day before.
Okay.
So it's the night. It's the night before she's facing her death. And by now, they had run out of options. And I do feel that she believed it would happen. I don't think that she expected a last-minute reprieve at that point. Because their execution date was set and reset multiple times. But this was it.
Because there were appeals and there were
lots of appeals, pleas to the president, which were all rejected. You know, even the Pope asked President Eisenhower to spare them. I think it's really quite a black mark on American history. It was the height of the anti-communism scare. They actually, in the ruling, blamed Julius for starting the Korean War. That was on him, which is outrageous. And even if it could possibly be linked to him, and the linkages were tenuous at best, even if you could link it to him, to make that entire world issue so simplified as to be the cause of the Russians getting the bomb and therefore empowering themselves and encouraging Korea to be going communism. I mean, it's such a leap that they had to justify killing them.
What do you think people will take away from this today? now in the...
In this day and age? Well, there are some eerie similarities. There's no question. I think that the world is generally, unfortunately, moving closer to fascism than it has at any point since before the Second World War. And I think that that is going to resonate. And just the idea that a case could go so horribly wrong is unfortunately not unusual news even today. We don't hear about them. They're not all as high profile. But there are still cases where DNA evidence has proved years later that somebody didn't commit a murder they've just been in jail for 30 years for, or they've already been executed for. I mean, you know, courts do make mistakes. And this one was kind of colossal.
I'm hearing from you, you feel the Rosenbergs were innocent.
If they weren't innocent, I'll leave some room for doubt. And even the play will leave some room to doubt. You can walk out of the theater making your own decisions on that. If they weren't innocent, they were certainly given a sentence that was much harsher than they deserved.
Okay.
I would definitely say that.
Tell us the details again.
It's opening on the 26th. The Thursday, the 26th performance is a gala. So it's running Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and Saturday and Sunday matinees starting on the 26th of April and running through to the 6th of May. And it is in Studio Center of Santa Fe, which is the old Warehouse 21, second floor, Black Box Theater, which is 1614 Paseo Peralta in Santa Fe.
Okay, and I will put details on our website, KUNM.org.
That's so terrific.
Can find
and of
out
course,
more info.
Tickets are available, brown paper tickets or at the door.
Okay, great. Well, Talia Pura, thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Talia Pura. Her one-woman show, The Passion of Ethel Rosenberg, will be at Studio Center Santa Fe, April 26th through May 6th. Find out more at KUNM.org.